The Justice Department suffered a major blow yesterday in its biggest case yet against a Muslim charity accused of support for terrorism. One defendant was found not guilty on most charges, and a federal judge declared a mistrial on other counts. The case centers on the Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development, which was accused of funneling money to Hamas, a radical Palestinian organization that's on the State Department's list of terrorist organizations. If you have questions about the case and what the mistrial means, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. We're joined by Jason Trahan. He's a reporter with the Dallas Morning News who's been following the trial, which happened at the federal courthouse there in Dallas. And Jason Trahan, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Very nice to be here today.
And at one time, the Holy Land Foundation was the largest Muslim charity in the United States. President Bush himself announced that its offices were being closed back in 2001. How big a deal are these verdicts yesterday?
Well, to the folks in the Justice Department that follow these sorts of terrorism financing cases, and for really all prosecutors and law enforcement individuals who are concerned with going after terrorists and people who support terrorist entities, this is a very big deal. I've talked to some sources in the last few weeks who say that if the government were to lose this case or fail to get significant convictions, it would sort of have a chilling effect on any future cases that government prosecutors might bring against similar entities, charities. The Holy Land Foundation did bill itself as the largest American Muslim charity back when it was in operation, roughly in Texas from 1992 to 2001 when it was shut down just after 9/11. It took in about $57 million over the course of its time in operation, and the charges that the government allege, it sent about $12 million to Hamas in the Palestinian territories.
And essentially, taking a very complicated case and reducing it almost to absurdity, the government's charge was that the Holy Land Foundation was portraying itself as a sort of widows and orphans fund and indeed was instead sending money for guns and bombs.
Absolutely. If I were able to boil the case down to a nutshell, I would probably be on the payroll as a consultant to the government, because that's going to be the thing that when they retry this case, as they said that they were going to do, they are going to want that exact outcome, to be able to boil the case down and put it in terms that the jurors can understand. But in essence, you're right. The Holy Land Foundation did bill itself as a legitimate charity that was concerned with helping families impacted by, in their minds, the brutal Israeli occupation. In fact, during the trial, it wasn't really disputed that the Holy Land Foundation did, in fact, send millions of dollars that did actually get to needy families. But the contention of the government was that Hamas is a multifaceted organization made up of a social branch, military branch, and a political branch that all fed off of each other and intermingled money and personnel, and that any money that any entity like the Holy Land Foundation sent that benefited it socially, it offset the costs that indirectly benefited it militarily. And by militarily, I don't mean a formal military presence. I'm talking about suicide bombings.
And indeed, you spoke with one of the jurors after the verdicts came down, who suggested that one of the real problems was the jurors did not necessarily believe that Hamas was, or at least not entirely, a terrorist organization.
Well, that's right. Like I said, I did speak to one juror. There were 12 on the panel, so it's a little unfair to characterize, the thoughts of one as the thoughts of all. But in essence, that's correct. This particular juror said that he had no problem following the evidence, which was voluminous, very, very, very cumbersome. Like any white-collar prosecution, it involved a lot of documents. In this case, it involved a lot of Arab names, international agencies that a lot of people who are outside the counterterrorism field have never heard of. But this juror said that in his mind, the case fell apart because the government failed to prove, in his mind, that the Palestinian charity committees to which the Holy Land Foundation was sending all of its money were actually fronts for Hamas. And that's a big point of contention in the case. It's obviously still unresolved because of the mistrial that was declared in, you know, pretty much 90% of the case yesterday. But it's still an unresolved question. And for that one juror, he wasn't at all convinced that the committees that Holy Land sent the money to were, in fact, you know, basically Hamas incarnate. And he, in fact, sort of balked when I asked him the question, you know, if he thought that Hamas, you know, what kind of entity does he view Hamas to be? And like a lot of Holy Land supporters that I've talked to about that exact point, they share the same sentiments that a lot of Palestinians, I would imagine, share, that Hamas is designated as a terrorist organization by the U.S., and that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone around the world agrees with that.
We're talking with reporter Jason Trahan of the Dallas Morning News about the federal trial against members and indeed the organization itself of the Holy Land Foundation, which largely ended in mistrial and acquittals yesterday. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Jason Trahan, there was a dramatic moment in court where indeed the jury had said that they'd reached a unanimous verdict on acquittal on at least some counts, and one of the jurors sat up and said, no, that's not quite right.
That's absolutely correct. I've talked to veteran prosecutors and attorneys who say that, you know, when you poll a jury, it's largely ceremonial. That all of those decisions about, you know, whether or not I agree or disagree with the verdict should have been taken care of long before the four-person signed off on the verdict form. But in this case, we had quite a bit of a shocker that broke out in court when the judge received the verdict from the four-person the week before. It was sealed, and we had to wait 4 days to find out what the jury had come up with. The judge opened the package and found a lot of incomplete counts, and asked the jury if, in fact, each one, if this is your verdict or not. And out of the 12, three jurors, two women and a man stood up and said that no, in fact, I don't agree. And then he sent the jurors back into the jury room to talk about it some more. And about an hour later, the four-person sent a note out saying, well, you know, scratch that. We've got one juror who just doesn't believe that the acquittals that we all agreed on are valid. And so the judge took that to mean that most of the 90% of the counts, undecided and decided, are to be thrown out, and only, I believe, 31 not guilties against one defendant remain. The rest of the other five defendants are still back at square one.
And as you said, the government says they plan to retry the men on those charges. Let's see if we can get a caller in on the conversation. Vince is with us. Vince calling from Binghamton, New York.
Hi. I just had a comment. It seems like the federal government seems to cast a wide net whenever they, you know, prosecute these incidents. I mean, and they don't seem to have a very good track record. I just wondered if you folks had a comment on that.
Yeah, Jason Trahan, you've written about that. Thanks for the call, Vince. Indeed, this is not the first setback the Justice Department has had in these kinds of cases.
That's absolutely right. There have been actually several prosecutions and convictions on material support, as it's known, the material support statute, which states that it's against the U.S. law for anyone in the United States to send any kind of money or aid or organizational skills or anything to a designated foreign terrorist organization. And in this case, the government has, like I said, had some successes, but they're very, you know, in comparison to the size of this charity, minor. However, in a 2005 case involving a Florida professor, and earlier this year in Chicago, two separate juries in those two cases ended pretty much like the Holy Land jury did yesterday. Hung jury on most counts and acquittals on others.
Yet, I just interrupt you. Professor Arion, the gentleman you referred to in Florida, is awaiting deportation. There's another case where somebody was convicted on another charge. And in this case, you quote prosecutors as saying, well, we've hamstrung this organization for the past several years. Indeed, there are ways that we could see this as a victory. Some might see that as an abusive prosecution.
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, anytime the government and a lot of its supporters make a move to prosecute on very serious charges and things work out and not exactly as they're supposed to from the perspective of the government, there's always going to be people who, you know, at any rate claim a victory. And a lot of people in the counterterrorism community say that, you know, just the disruption of an entity the size of Holy Land, as it was, you know, accused of being a Hamas front, a lot of people still believe that that's true, and that any disruption of an organization of that size and stature, doing what a lot of counterterrorism officials accuse it of doing, is a significant victory, even if the organizers of that charity and the charity itself escape prosecution in American federal criminal court.
Escape conviction is, I think, what you meant. But Jason Trahan, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Jason Trahan, a reporter for the Dallas Morning News. He joined us by phone from his office in Dallas, Texas. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.